Hello. Ah, that's better. All right. Good morning, everyone. My name's Richard. I'm one of the elders here at Southern. Why don't you join me and let's pray together for the world, for this church, and for our community. Father God, we read last week about Martha, who was worried and upset about many things, and about Mary, who chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. We know that we too often find ourselves caught up with worries and upset about many things. Lord, change our hearts. Help us to focus on what is important, the amazing love that you have shown us and the good works that you have given us to do, works that we know will last for eternity. We are sorry, Lord God, for the times that we have focused on worldly things and chased after our own glory. Thank you for the forgiveness that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus, who died for us to wash our sins away. Help us to reject sin and to use our lives to bring glory to you. We know that anything done for this world will fade away, but your kingdom will last forever. Lord, please grow your kingdom and use us, your church, to grow it more. Father, we pray for the world, for the many people who are suffering. In Myanmar, Lord, the military launched an airstrike against a church building, killing 17 people, including 9 children, and wounding many others, destroying the church building, the neighbouring school, and 8 houses. Father, we pray for an end to targeted airstrikes on Christians in Myanmar. Please draw close to your people in their grief and provide healing to those who are wounded. May the Christian community in that town draw on your power and love and the counsel of your Holy Spirit as they seek to rebuild physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And may the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. Father, we thank you for the community and for the church that you have given us. And we pray for our small groups as they start back up. Help us to be excited to dig into your word together. We pray for the many kids and teachers who went back to school last week and kick off in earnest this week. And for our friends at Trinity Bible College who are kicking off their first semester, help those who are teaching to honour you and those who are learning to seek first your glory. And Lord, as Ash teaches us from Luke 11 today, help us to listen, help us to hear your word and to be challenged by it. And we pray that Ash would honour your word as he preaches from it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from the Bible now, from Luke chapter 11. I'll give you a moment to find it. I think there are some Bibles up the back there if you want a paper Bible. So feel free to go up and grab one. And we'll read from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And it's going to be hard for me not to switch to King James mode. You'll see why in a second. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Deep in my gut, I have this feeling that I'd love a deeper and richer prayer life. I do have a prayer life. I'm growing in it. I still want a deeper and richer prayer life. I've struggled with prayer most of my Christian life. I can remember when I started out as a Christian, and like first started going to church late in high school, I pretty much zoned out through the whole prayer time at church. I guess it was the bit of the service where I could sort of get away with thinking about whatever I felt like thinking about, and no one would ever test me on it later on. I thought it was the perfect crime. I'd say amen at the end, but I have no idea what I just agreed to. Later on, I figured I should actually start, more ahead of guilt and responsibility, I figured I should probably be listening to what's being prayed. So in my mind, I would repeat back the words that the prayer was praying. I was doing that even just now, just to make sure I stayed alert. I'd make a habit of repeating those words. And I thought I'd be getting better at praying. This is 20 years ago. There was this particular lady at the church I went to. She just prayed so long. Like always, she prayed so long. I would start off repeating the words that she was saying. I'd be praying about things I don't know what's going on in the world. And I'd be praying along, and then my mind would drift away, and I'd realize, and I'd catch it, and I'd bring it back, start repeating her words again. I'd drift away. This would happen 6 or 7 times while she would pray. I'm sure there must have been times where I missed the amen at the end and sort of kept my head down, and people might have thought that I was really solemn in prayer. Really, I had just not been listening. Privately, I have been a bit better, not much better. I've been not great at setting aside good time to pray. I have this constant prayer going in my head. Often I'll be silently asking God for something. Late at night, I will slow down and I will be a bit more personal and teary with God. But I think I've never quite been great at like always regularly setting aside a good chunk of time in the day to pray at length. I like the idea of regularly working through lists of all the people in our church, in our family, and people I'm trying to reach for Jesus. I find those things really helpful, and they help me to make sure that actually I don't miss anyone in prayer. I want to be praying for those things, and I want to be praying the themes of the Bible. So I set up lists and I set up structures. They help me a lot. But sometimes then they fade and they drift away, and I have to start them up again. I am getting better, but overall I still have this feeling in my gut that I'm too easily pulled away by things other than prayer. It's often an effort, and I'm not as consistent as I want to be. And no one's telling me off for this. No one has ever come to me and said, "Hey, your prayer life is not up to scratch." I just have this deep feeling in my gut that my prayer life is not where I want it to be. And I worry what that says about what I really think about God deep down. Why am I like this? Is it because I don't think God is worth talking to? I hope that's not it. Do I think that I'm just too busy, like the stuff I'm doing with my time is more important than the things of just talking to God? Or do I not value the relationship with God? Because I mean, talking to someone is really important in any relationship. Between hearing God speak in his word and responding in prayer and bringing all things to the God who's loved me enough to save me at the cross, speaking to God is a really important part of that relationship. Why do I struggle in prayer? I don't drop other things off. Why do I let prayer drop? I know that something could be the answer. They're the answer for some people, but here's a few things that I don't think are the problem for me. Like, some people don't feel worthy talking to God. I'm quite happy when I'm feeling not worthy to still talk to God. In fact, I think the more worthless I feel, the more prayerful I get. I reckon some people get confused. Is there any point to praying? Does God answer prayers? We'll touch on that a bit next week. We're going to do 2 weeks on this topic of prayer. I don't think that one's me either. I know some people can't see the point of prayer. They say, well, God knows what we're going to pray, and he knows what he'll do anyway. What's the point of praying? I'm not quite clever enough for that to have stopped me. It's worth pondering about, but I don't think that's ever the thing that stopped me praying. Some people have trouble praying just because they don't know what to say, especially in public. I usually don't know what to say, but I talk anyway. I'm not so worried about that anymore. I've been there. There was a time when people say, oh, come along to this prayer meeting, and I would never go because I had no idea how I would pray for a whole hour. Like this prayer meeting, they say it's going to go for an hour, and then I hear, oh, they went over talk. What am I going to pray for a whole hour? I avoided them for years. Had no idea. Sorry. One of the most terrifying and life-changing in prayer for me experiences was I once, as an early Christian, a young Christian, early Christian sounds like I was there 2,000 years ago. No, young Christian, 25 years ago. Went along to this mission night for a lady who was going off to Kyrgyzstan on mission. And I don't know how I ended up there, but people were going, so I went along. And we're hearing about all the things that she was going to do. And then they said, oh, let's break into little groups of three and four nearby. And many of you have heard this story if I've told it. And just pray with the people around you for this lady going off to Kyrgyzstan. And just because of some God's providence of where I happened to be sitting, I ended up in the little four with two like senior pastors and one of their apprentices. And there was me who's like had avoided all prayer meetings to this point. And I'm like, oh man, I better impress these guys. And so I quickly, you know, had only been half paying attention to the mission presentations, like quickly think of what I could pray. I think I probably made sure that I prayed first so I could get all my stuff out without anybody else sort of stealing those points first. So I prayed, and I was pretty good. Like I had pulled it together. I prayed this pretty impressive prayer. I thought, these guys will be impressed with me. And then I went, and then they went and prayed as well. I thought, thank heavens, we got to the end of the four. We're going to say amen. And they went again. And they went again. And like I was out. So that was like I'd prayed first, and then the three of them just kept, like, good prayers. Like, hey, like you're coming up with new stuff each time. And how did they do it? I realized afterwards those guys, they were not impressed with how mature I was, with how awesome my prayer was at the beginning. They wouldn't have cared about that. But also they wouldn't have cared that I didn't have as clever things to say as they did. And they didn't think of that. They were just talking to their father about this lady they cared about to go and share news about Jesus in another place. They were just talking to their father. From then on, I kind of stopped caring about what people thought about me when I prayed and just prayed. And if it was clever, it was clever. If it wasn't clever, well, there you go. That's what you get when you talk to your father. Maybe for some of these reasons I've listed, people struggle with prayer. Maybe for other reasons. I wonder if you are like me and you want a deeper and richer prayer life. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus is always praying. This is the guy who could raise the dead, and he could teach with the kind of authority that comes when you have come from heaven yourself. And he, like, Southern's been going for 5.5 years now. He only had about a 3-year ministry, but even he thought it was worth taking time out to regularly and at length be praying to his Father. If it's worth it for Jesus, it's probably worth it in our ministry too. And his followers, they come to Jesus and they say, look, Jesus, last chapter, well, they didn't say chapter, but you know, the last chapter in Luke say, you gave us the power to cast out demons and heal the sick. You've given us that, but Lord, can you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray like you do. That's a fairly common thing for rabbis to teach their students their own personalized way of praying. For some rabbis, it's like a whole trademark. This is how the students of that teacher pray. And it totally makes sense, doesn't it? That learning to speak to God would be a core part of any religious education. If you're a follower and you're like in those days, if you're latched on to a particular teacher, you're going to follow them around, it's probably because you greatly respect them. You like the way they have come close to God and they know God, and you want to be like them. You want to emulate them. You want to sort of look a bit like them, particularly in the way they speak to God. So often a student will go to their teacher and say, hey, Lord, teacher, teach us to pray. And you can see here, they say, oh, John taught his disciples to pray. We want to pray how you pray. And so they say, like me, is, Lord, please teach me to pray. Now, I don't think it means that they don't have a clue how to pray. It doesn't mean they've never prayed a prayer before. Of course, they know how to pray. They've got plenty of ritual prayers that they'll say. They've got the Psalms that teach them like the full range of emotions that God wants people to bring to him in personal prayer. I don't think they were looking for a particular set of words to recite. I don't think they were looking for a particular set of words that if they unlock the exact combination of words, that will make God respond or that God will enjoy those words more than others. I think what they want is the same thing that I want. I want a deep and personal, rich prayer life with God. I see Jesus has it. They see Jesus has it. And they go, so Jesus, can you teach us to pray? How can we have the kind of rich prayer life, Jesus, that you have? And so in verses 2 to 13 of Luke chapter 11, Jesus gives first a prayer outline. Then he gets a story about the worst neighbours ever, a reminder that all human dads are evil, and a promise that God will give you the Spirit if you ask, seek, and knock. It all works together to teach us how to have a prayer life like Jesus. That's verses 2 to 13 of Luke 11. This morning I'm only going to get as far as verse 2. We've done verse 1 already. One verse, that's all we're going to do for the rest, and then next week we have to go fast and catch up all the rest. But we'll read the whole passage again. So for now, just verse 2. And I reckon in verse 2, we get two ideas from Jesus. One, the first step, if you have a rich prayer life like him, call God Father. And secondly, pray for his glory. That's the two ideas. That's all we're going to do for the rest of today. Call God Father and pray for his glory. Now, the early Christians, like soon after the time of Jesus, they did pray to God as Father, and that's kind of interesting historically. Historians track it back to Jesus inviting them to call God Father. Before this, the Jews did call God Father, but like he's the Father of the nation. Maybe in a special way, he's the Father of the King, because God's job is to rule, and the King is kind of like his son, given the job to rule. But you wouldn't personally call God Father. When Jesus does that, they accuse him of blasphemy, and it is, unless you really are God's son. It's kind of a terrifying thing Jesus is inviting us to do here. But Jesus says, first thing to have a prayer life like mine, you are talking to your Father. Start by saying, Father. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, Dear God. Matthew's version of this prayer starts with, Our Father in heaven. Feels like a little bit more reverent. Some people get really smooth, like rattling off the first line to their prayers. Oh, dear loving Heavenly Father. And it's a lot of accurate description. It can become a thing you just say without thinking, or it can be a thing that you think deeply about each time. I often pray Father God. It's a little bit simpler than Dear Loving Heavenly Father. I say Father God. Maybe that's part of my problem. Not that there's a problem with that. But maybe I don't often enough just say Father. I guess it'd be a problem if I just started saying Father and I forgot that I was actually talking to God. I don't think I'm going to forget that. But maybe if I just sometimes call God Father when I talk to him, maybe I will actually start talking to my Father as a son talks to his father. Now, I'm sorry if talking to your earthly father is really hard. But can you picture the privilege this is? Imagine a king or a president of a huge nation. If you're in that country and you want to go and talk to the king of the country, if you're really important, you may be able to manage a 15-minute appointment 6 months from now. And then you only get in if you really have something that is of interest to the king, something real to offer. And then when you do, you get in, you address him as Your Royal Highness, sir. But every morning, the king's 5-year-old crawls into his bed at 5 a.m. and says, Daddy, I want to talk to you about trains. And Dad does. If you at least sometimes start your prayer just saying, Father, I wonder if we'll start to realize that we're praying to God as Father. Notice the distant, unrelated, slightly disinterested king, but as Father. Someone who would send his son Jesus to die and rise again so that we could become children of God, so that we could become his children. So that we could stand, in one sense, alongside Jesus as his siblings. That we can be brothers and sisters of Christ. Can you try that now? We're not even going to say an actual prayer. Just close your eyes and say, Father. Father. Imagine addressing God as Father. But we'll pray a prayer later on. We'll start that way. It might, just by saying Father, be the start of a deep and rich prayer life for you. Will you come with a child's confidence and just talk to your Father? Nothing wrong with calling out to God and saying, "Oh God," or "My God." I do kind of notice that Jesus says things like, "My God." He says, "My God, my God," when he's on the cross and feeling as broken and as forsaken as the guy in Psalm 22. But almost everywhere else, Jesus prays to his Father. And you say, "Oh, that's fine for Jesus. He really is God's son." If you've trusted in Jesus, you really are God's son or daughter. Pray to your Father. We're going to explore that Father theme a lot more next week, but that's where we start. Pray to your Father. It may transform your prayer life. Secondly, once you know who you're talking to, the first thing you ask for is that your Father's name be made awesome all over the world and that his kingdom would come. We say, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." That's what I want, God. That's what I want, Father. First thing we want our Father to do is make changes in the world and in people's hearts so that everyone everywhere thinks that God is great. A hallowed name is a name that's set apart. It's awesomely above every other name. We're asking Father, asking God our Father to increase his glory, to build up his own reputation and bring in his kingdom. We're saying, "Oh Father, can you please take all my cars and my career and my home and my health and just make them all pass away, because I want to live in your world where things are your way. I want to be in the place where everything is how it should be. I want your kingdom to come. I want to stop building my, I want your kingdom to come. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Father God, what I want more than anything is to see your kingdom starting to break into this world. I want to experience it in my own life. I want to know that transformation that is me becoming a new creation, fit to live in your new world. I want to see your kingdom in my own heart. Now, it's hard to pray that if that's not really what you want. If the thing we really want is for God, you know, a distant, powerful entity to give us a better than average experience of life between the cradle and the grave, the best we'll manage, I think, is to recite the words, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, can I bring to your attention, God, all the bread I need and all the sin I need forgiving?" And on both of those areas, I have a lot to say. I think a better way to start is just say, "Father, the thing I want more than anything else in this life is for people to know how great you are. I want things to be your way. So God, Father, I'm asking you to do it. Send me to go and bring Jesus to that friend. Father, open a door for that lady to hear about Jesus at playgroup. Father, I hope you have time, because I have this whole list of everyone I know and most of them don't think you're great, and I want you to do something. I want you to change that. So I'm going to talk about everyone I know, Father." And you get to the end of that list, you say, "Father, I've got another list. These are the people who already do think you're great, and I want to tell you how happy that makes me feel. I want to thank you for all of them." And you go through that list. And try that. Just make a list of everyone you know and pray for every person you know, no matter how well you know them. But probably if you know them better, you'll pray longer for them. But make a list of everyone you know and just pray for God's reputation in their lives, in every one of their hearts. Before you know it, I think you'll be praying every day at length. Partly because you've got lots to pray about. And partly because I think you'll enjoy praying and asking God to bring his name to glory in people's lives. I think you'll enjoy praying that more than you enjoy praying about the day-to-day things that you want in life. It actually gets kind of boring praying for things for ourselves all the time. The more we think about the things we want, the more we want to just go and play with those things. People usually find it easier to pray when they're in pain. I reckon if we start to pray more for God's kingdom, pray more for God's reputation, we'll feel the pain of how far away from that reality this world is. And the more we feel that pain, the more we'll be on our knees day and night praying for some relief. I suspect that's part of why Jesus had such a rich prayer life, because he could feel the way things should be and how they are just not a reality in this world. I think that's why he was able to keep on praying all the time. "Oh God, set things right. Oh God, bring us home to you. Father, bring glory to your name. Because it's killing me to live here where people don't see you the way you really are." Praying for God's name, praying for the kingdom, I think that will change you and drive you into a prayer life like Jesus. Now, I don't want us to go away thinking, oh, I'm going to change this. I'm going to pray this way because that will change me, because prayer is ultimately about self-help. Prayer is not self-help. Prayer is talking to God. But language is going to change us. The things we talk about are going to change us. Starting to really focus on God's mission and God as our Father will drive us to a whole different sort of prayer life like Jesus has. It's going to set the flavour for the rest of your prayers as well. You're going to start by, you move on to asking, just, Father, also give me the things I need just to get by, because I'm actually more focused on your kingdom coming. You start to be praying for God to be glorified in your own heart, that you won't be taken in by sin. And they won't just be words. If you start personally talking to your Father and start rightly with his glory, you'll have no trouble praying from the heart about your needs and your struggles. We'll get to those needs and struggles next week when we do verses 3 to 13. But let's close here like with that really simple aim. If you're like me and you want a deeper and richer prayer life, why don't we just, here's a really simple aim. This week, every day, start a prayer, just say Father. Nothing wrong with saying Father God. But this week, you just say Father. I find that almost uncomfortable. Why do I find that uncomfortable? It feels too casual. Why don't you just try it with me this week? Just say Father. And make an aim every day to be praying, first of all, for things that will bring him glory. If you can't think of anything, just wait. Take some time. Think of a name, any name. Think about where they're at in seeing what God's name is like in that person's heart and pray from there. Make that name this week. Every day, pray Father, pray for his glory and for his kingdom to come. You're allowed to pray for other things as well, but start with those. And why don't you pray with me now? Father, we want your name to be known and loved all over the world and in every heart. We want those youth that have just gone out to grow in seeing you clearly. Open eyes, remove blinders. We want them to know you better and to be able to share you with others. We want our own hearts to turn towards you more and more. We want to want your glory more than we want anything else. So glorify yourself in our hearts so that it overflows into pain when we look at how far the world is from you. And that turns us back to you in deep, rich prayer. Father, help us pray as Jesus, our Saviour and brother, has taught us. Amen.